back to the Jeff Porch Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thank you very much for sticking with us on this Monday morning. Still to come on the program here in about 30 minutes, C.J. Pearson joins us. He's a columnist, also watching the Alabama Senate race. I guess thoughts on Mike Durant and what appears to be a flip-flop, but we can let him make that case for you. That's in the 11 o'clock hour. Then we'll wrap it all up with our weekly visit from the one and only Dale Jackson. So that's coming up at the 11 o'clock hour. But joining us now, always a pleasure to bring on my next guest. He's been very kind to this program over the years, Congressman Mo Brooks of the 5th Congressional District, also running for U.S. Senate. Congressman, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. It's interesting to hear that right after you and I talk, we're going to have a surrogate from Katie Britt's campaign. So I wish I could listen in, but unfortunately I've got more to do as soon as we're finished here.
Well, I don't think he's officially a surrogate, but I take your point.
He is. There's no official or unofficial. You're either a surrogate or you're not. He is.
Okay.
And he's been that way for about a year. But go ahead. I'm sorry. That's off. That's just an interesting point.
Well, you seem to, before we get into what we had you on about, the Mike Durant out there seems to have gone relatively unscathed up until this point, maybe with some small exceptions, but he had, in a statement on Saturday, tried to use your words that you made, the remarks you made at that Coleman rally during your speech back in August against you, and as it, that you weren't interested in the election integrity. But as it turned out, according to Pearson, Durant said roughly the same thing you said, that we need to start looking toward 2022 and 2024, that much we could do about 2020.
Well, let me be real clear. From November 3rd to January 6th, the people who are running for the United States Senate, I focus on the top three with my language because I don't know much about the bottom three, and they don't seem, at least at this point, to have risen to a level of competitiveness. But I am the only one, the only candidate for the United States Senate of the top three that actually fought voter fraud and election theft. And I challenge Katie Britt and Mike Durant to prove otherwise. Not just talk the game, but prove it. Okay, where's your public statement? Where's your contribution to the lawsuits that were going on around the country, or to Donald Trump's campaign to help him pay for those lawsuits going around the country? Now, when Katie Britt and Mike Durant want to act like they're Donald Trump supporters, they'll make these statements. Well, fine. You know, I'm an attorney, and I'm used to people actually proving these utterances that they give when they have a self-interest in making those utterances. So where's the proof? And for that matter, let's take it a step further, Jeff. I was the co-chairman of Donald Trump's campaign for re-election in 2020. I also cut three different four-figure checks in 2016 and 2020, and I made plenty of public statements saying that I was voting for and supporting Donald Trump in 2016 and 2020. Where are these statements? Where are the campaign contributions, the financial support of either Mike Durant or Katie Britt? And I would submit to the people who are listening to my voice that both of them are pulling the wool over the eyes of the voter. Both of them are being deceptive, and they can rebut me by showing the proof. Where are the campaign contributions you gave Donald Trump in 2016 or 2020 that match what Mo Brooks cut with the checks that I cut? And where are the public statements that you uttered in 2016 and 2020 that established that you really were for Donald Trump when it counted, and that you supported the MAGA agenda when it counted? I still await to hear those things, and I'm tired of them pretending to be for Donald Trump or pretending to be conservatives. Come on, come up with the evidence. Support your statements. I've got my evidence that supports my statements. Where's yours? That's my challenge.
Now, you're not saying they would have supported Hillary Clinton and or Joe Biden, are you?
I don't know if they did or did not. I know that Mike Durant, by way of example, did not vote in the presidential primary in 2016 or the presidential primary in 2020. That begs a lot of questions. For that matter, Mike Durant has not participated in a Republican primary or runoff election in over a dozen years. Mike Durant has not voted in a legislative race or a governor's race in over a dozen years. What in the world would make anyone think that he's a loyal Republican, that he really shares our values when he refused to participate in the election processes by which we choose our Republican candidates, or for that matter, even refused to participate in the elections for our state legislature and our governors?
Now, here's what occurs to me. It just seems like, obviously, this has been talked about ad nauseum about Donald Trump's remarks to the Washington Examiner last week, but that Donald Trump endorsement is such an essential thing. Is that kind of where we're at, that you really, really, really need that or want that Donald Trump endorsement, which you still have, by the way, in an election in Alabama?
No question, Donald Trump's endorsement helps. But let's also emphasize that Katie Britt and Mike Durant have been very competitive to date without it. And let me also emphasize that both of them, Katie Britt and Mike Durant, rejected the preference of Donald Trump when they chose to get into this race. That ought to signal people something.
Congressman, let's move on to what we got you on here for, a big pledge, effort this morning. You've said this in the past, Mitch McConnell, probably not the best person to be leading the Republican Party in the Senate, but you got a pledge. You think that Mitch McConnell needs to be fired from that leadership post. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Well, for starters, we need, as our Republican leadership, someone that has the respect of the American people so that that person can better carry the message of the public policy positions that we stand for. I don't know if you've looked at the Real Clear Politics average for the leading political figures in Washington, D.C., but if you have, then you will know that Mitch McConnell has far and away the worst unfavorable-favorable ratio of anybody in Washington, D.C. who has any semblance of a leadership position. He is three times more unpopular in net unfavorable rating than Joe Biden. Most people know that Joe Biden is pretty far underwater, okay? Well, think about it in this context. Mitch McConnell is three times worse, unfavorable, than Joe Biden, and he's 50% worse than Nancy Pelosi. And so our message carrier needs to have more respect to the American people than Mitch McConnell has. Now, for whatever reason, the American people don't like Mitch McConnell, for whatever reason, I'm not going to go into all the details as to why I think that's the case, but the bottom line is that's what it is. And I believe that the Republican Party can do much better in finding a better message carrier than we have. And as such, Mitch has to go. We need to ditch Mitch. We need to hire somebody else that has greater respect of the American population so that when we get into these hard-fought political battles, we have someone who can carry our message a little bit better and be a little bit more credible and believable with the American people. Additionally, you've got a second aspect to all of this, and that is public policy and how you're going to govern. Mitch McConnell governs according to whatever special interest groups tell him. Just as simple as that, okay? Mitch McConnell believes in the sledgehammer approach to campaigns, where you get the money and you hammer the opposition. How do you get the money? You do what special interest groups want you to do. You're seeing that in this race right now unfold for the United States Senate, particularly with Katie Britt, but to a lesser degree with Mike Durant. They are loyal to the people who provide them the money that enables them to spend gazillions of dollars collectively, their team, on these attack ads against me and also for self-promotion of them. And that means that there are IOUs. Now, I don't have those kind of IOUs. That's one of the things that distinguishes me from the others. But with respect to Mitch McConnell, that's his modus operandi, which in turn means that he can't support the America First agenda because the special interest groups don't. It also means that he's at odds with President Trump because President Trump supports the America First agenda, the Make America Great Again agenda. Mitch McConnell doesn't. Mitch McConnell did not help us with the funding needed to build the wall, the number one priority of the Republican president of the United States. And on spending money in the House and in the Senate, you just need a majority to vote. The filibuster doesn't come into play in the Senate. But Mitch McConnell, for whatever reason, chose not to muster the support that was necessary in the Senate to provide the funding that we needed to build a border wall that would protect us from the 2 million person invasion that occurred last year across our southern border.
Congressman, if not Mitch McConnell, then who?
Oh, there are lots of people. It's a long, long list of people that I'd be more than happy to go with, but I'll give you some examples. Rand Paul, Ted Cruz, Josh Hawley, Ron Johnson out of Wisconsin. You've got Mike Lee out of Utah. You've got Rick Scott out of Florida. There are many, 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 many senators who I believe are in a much better position, have much better impressions with the American people, and hence are much better able to carry our message than Mitch McConnell.
And I guess, you know, we've talked about this, you and I have talked about this in the past. So much of that leadership position is this. It really comes down to raising money for candidates, raising money for incumbents. How much of that should be a part of the calculus here in picking a leader?
I've got a far different approach to governance than does Mitch McConnell and the folks that you just collectively described, okay? I believe that the way to get elected and to get reelected is by doing a good job. You don't need as much money if you do a good job. By way of example, in 2010, when I first ran for the United States Congress, I was up against an incumbent party-switching Republican congressman and an esteemed veteran of the United States military, retiree. Those two outspent me $2.5 million to $160,000. And we won because the people of the Tennessee Valley figured out, it took a while to get through all the fluff, all the distraction, all the attack ads, all that kind of stuff. They figured out, hey, Mo Brooks is the real conservative in this race. He's principled. That's why all these special interest groups dislike him. That's why all this money's up against him. But that's what we want, because we want someone to put America first, and that's what I do. Now, it's a little bit harder in a statewide campaign, and that's one of the reasons why Katie Britt's attack ads against me, they're false, they're scandalous, they're scurrilous, they're heinous. Think of whatever word you want to do that gives my opinion of the truthfulness of them. But they're having an effect because I'm not as well known statewide. And so I've got to figure out a better way to rebut them as opposed to the way it's rebutted up here in the Tennessee Valley. By way of example, these ads that Katie Britt's team's running, they accuse me of being anti-military. Now, anyone with a brain larger than the size of a pea who thinks about it will first ask themselves, wait a second, if Mo Brooks is anti-military, how in the world did the people of the Tennessee Valley, where Redstone Arsenal is located, which is the number one largest military facility in the state of Alabama in terms of jobs, whether they be uniformed personnel, civilian, DOD, or contractors, how in the world did they elect him 14 different times? That gives you an idea as to how misleading and how dishonest Katie Britt's team's ad, where they call me anti-military or for the Islamic State or for Al-Qaeda. It's just garbage. But unfortunately, that's the way that Mitch McConnell plays the game. They try to shotgun you with so many false ads. You have limited resources. You have to pick and choose which ones you can rebut. In the meantime, your reputation is tarnished. And hopefully the people of Alabama will be smart enough to see through it all. That's what I'm relying on.
Joined by Congressman Mo Brooks of the 5th Congressional District. He is running for United States Senate here in Alabama at this point. If you haven't heard, and you've been hiding out under a rock or something. But Congressman, one of the things, roll call did this analysis of Richard Shelby, and he brought home like $548 million in earmarks, by far and away more than any other senator in the United States to his home state. It meant perhaps it's somewhat of a legacy building swan song, whatever. But that seems to be the concern for a lot of people. Whenever we talk about the next senator from Alabama, well, we sure are going to miss Richard Shelby. And I want to get you to respond to sort of the view of government, the view of the federal government in this state, that it is some kind of piggy bank or pipeline for the state of Alabama. What are your thoughts on that?
Richard Shelby decided to interject himself into this Senate race. He views this Senate seat like an inheritance, and he's bequeathed it to Katie Britt. And with that bequeath, he's also added at least $6 million, according to a statement that he made recently. I don't believe that a Senate seat should be gifted down through an estate or a will or anything else of that nature. It's something that the people of Alabama should be able to control. But, of course, that $6 million is going to make a big difference. But what has happened is Richard Shelby has decided to interject himself. That makes him fair game. So let me tell you how I'm different than Richard Shelby. I never would have voted like Richard Shelby did to make it easier for non-citizens to vote in American elections. He voted for legislation that made it illegal for our boards of registrars to require proof of citizenship before someone registers to vote, which means that illegal aliens and other non-citizens can come in, and a board of registrar cannot ask for proof of citizenship, which means they get registered to vote. That's craziness. But Richard Shelby voted for that. That was Section 5 of the National Voter Registration Act. On January the 6th, Richard Shelby was the only Republican from Alabama out of our eight that voted with Joe Biden, that voted against honest and accurate elections, and voted against Donald Trump. Okay? Keep in mind, he's chosen Katie Britt as the person who's most like him. And then I'll give you the flip side to all this pork barrel that Richard Shelby has brought in the state of Alabama that some people relish so much as they feed at the trough. Keep this in mind. There are two sides to that sword, two blades, both sharp. The other side that needs to be focused on is our $30 trillion debt that risks a national insolvency and bankruptcy. And I challenge anyone in America to identify a person who is more responsible for that $30 trillion debt than Richard Shelby. He's been in Washington, D.C. since the 1970s, back when our total debt was less than $1 trillion. It's gone up 30 times worse under Richard Shelby's leadership, particularly in his capacity on the Appropriations Committee, which is the spend all money you don't have committee. So there are serious disagreements between myself and Richard Shelby, and my vote is real clear. I voted against all this non-defense spending that Richard Shelby is now boasting about because it's money we don't have to borrow to get, can't afford to pay back. Now, if it had been different, if it was money we had in hand, if we weren't going into debt, even more, even worse, then there are a lot of those things I would have voted for. But under this scenario, we have to have someone in Washington, D.C. who's not a debt junkie, who will stand up for the future of America and not spend it away, and that's Mo Brooks.
Congressman, folks want to find out more about your campaign. Tell them where they can look.
Well, if you want a proven conservative rather than one of these pretenders, go to MoBrooks.com. MoBrooks.com, this is your country, this is your state. Please do your homework, and if you do, I'm confident you'll make the right decision.
Congressman, we always appreciate it. We'll talk again soon.
Thank you, Jeff. Take care. Have a blessed day.
That was Mo Brooks. Let's get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Force Show on FM Talk 106.5.